That's an interesting choice of words.
Well, I just mean it's going to be like a really funny show today.
I guess we'll see about
that. Okay. Triple M with myself, Tony Martin.
Thank you very much.
They're so flowing and absorbent.
So at work wearing it, guys. It's hot in here. I keep treading on it. There's so many things you can stand on. I mean, why didn't Batman, when he was in the Batmobile, just constantly have a bit of cape sticking out of the door?
Just dragging along the ground.
And why didn't bad guys grab him by it? Didn't he have to do that thing where he's kind of flailing with his arms behind himself? Get off it! Get off it!
Very difficult to panel in a cave. There's no freedom of movement.
Really?
Really need, you know, full.
I know you do.
We know you about your needs, Richard. All about your needs.
I know. Get any jobs on the weekend, Rich?
Hey, I did that.
The weekend press in the flesh?
I worked it.
Everyone was out at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival over the weekend.
Had Tucker's Daughter. Did anyone see Tucker's Daughter?
Yeah. Geraldine Hickey.
Fine show.
Got a bad review, I hear.
Yeah.
From Helen Razor.
Yeah.
Imagine being a comedian, getting a bad review from Helen Razor. That'd be like being Robert De Niro and getting a bad review from Galen off Big Brother. How embarrassing. Does nobody remember Helen Razor's attempt at a comedy show on the Comedy Channel with Fiona Horn, the correct use of cutlery?
I saw it.
How did you get a comedy reviewing license?
I don't know.
How embarrassing.
It's a fine show.
It is a fine show, Geraldine. Well done. Don't listen to that old cow. And over the weekend, our panel operator, Richard Marsland, big noting himself.
That's a...
I heard you were at the opening of Keating the Musical.
Yeah, I was, actually. That's my first real, you know, blue-chip showbiz premiere party fun.
And did you... how close were you sitting to...
Well, this is the thing. I think I accidentally got your tickets. Because there's, like, heavy-hitting satirists all around.
Oh, really?
And I had John Clark.
I was meant to be down in Fart Jokes, buddy. I was meant to be next to Big Plume and Rodney Root.
I was in the knob jockey section. And there were brilliant seats, like three from the front.
Really?
I had John Clark in the row.
Yeah.
I was already nervous then.
Yeah.
But then, directly behind me, the one and only Paul Keating.
Wow. And could you resist looking around? Tony Wilson was there, and he said his girlfriend had to keep stopping him from looking around to check out how Paul Keating was reacting to all the jokes.
Yeah, I know. I was keeping an eye on those things. And there's a part in the show. It's a terrific show. It's absolutely amazing. There's a part in the show where everyone yells out the name. Certainly for the encore there was. Everyone yells out his name. His voice was the strongest. And I always had to... There was a couple of jokes about Anita. And I laughed pretty hard, a bit too hard. And then, you know, behind me there was no laughter coming.
Oh, really?
So,
don't turn around laughing point.
I was wondering at which point I should ask for an autograph. Because what's the protocol there?
When he's in the bathroom.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I know what you normally do, Richard Marsland. Because, hey, you were on Rogue. Were you on Rogue?
We only had to go. Well, I mean, I don't keep score. It's a team effort. And
you get any jokes on?
Got a few jokes on.
How many?
It's a team effort.
Yeah, it is.
This is
not what he says when he's approaching women backstage at the comedy festival.
Exactly.
You know what he does?
Well, I only see the sort of haze of Marsland heading towards some women, and I head to the door.
He goes.
I know what's coming.
He has a guitar in his hand. He approaches them with a guitar
on the Evan Dando of the festival.
This is what he says.
Oh,
I know. It's amazing. It's just me plus four on every door around town.
Yeah, right. Hey, yeah. Tony, that's you singing, isn't it?
Attempted.
Honestly, that's the best job you've done. At first, Nikki and I looked at each other and went, that's in tune.
Yeah, right.
That's not Cockney.
Are you singing the chorus as well?
Then I did. And then Matt goes, you have to do something called harmony. So I'm going, what's that?
Yeah.
Is that me just eight times me?
Can you just photocopy me a few times and paste that in?
No dice.
But, you know, words and lyrics, courtesy, the real life of Richard Marsden, co-producer of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, which bits were you, Rich?
All the good bits, all the CGI bits, I did that.
It's all you.
Crack them out, boom, I took care of that.
Let's get down to actual hard news. Let's do that, Nick. You want to try and hit the post on this one, Rich?
I wouldn't even dare.
Come on, Rich, have a go.
Well, it's only 7 seconds.
Okay, what do you got for us,
bud? It's no post, it's more of a...
Let's
get this on Triple M right around the country, thanks to absolutely nobody.
From the Muppets on Drugs.
Kirby Hancock in the background.
Have you guys seen the film clip for that?
No.
Really?
It's nothing but like pasty face, like serious looking film clip actors, and then the word like love as they wander off into the distance.
Wow. Bring back the old days of the Nick Kershaw style.
Yeah, chroma key for everyone.
Yeah. Hey, while we're talking about music and great recording artists, Beaconsfield Mine survivors Todd Russell and Brant Webb. Putting out a single with their wives.
Oh, okay.
So, camera style.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that'll be the clip. In front of the helicopter at Beaconsfield. That'll look great. The song, 321 Hours, recorded with Brant and Todd, the missuses, and then Adelaide band Unitopia, bringing up the rear, signifies the amount of time they were trapped 925 metres underground.
Wow. I mean, on paper, it sounds great. You've got an Adelaide band and you've got Todd and Brant.
Yeah.
Brant, sorry.
And
South Australian accent, there you go. Yeah, but wouldn't it be coincidental if it went gold, this single?
Yeah, well, it's 321 hours. I mean, is that... I think they'd do an existing song. You think they'd have a bit of this. Maybe they just don't want to be reminded... the word mine.
Hey, mine
bread.
Stop saying mine
bread. I wasn't expecting to have such a high melodious voice.
You know, just the video clip.
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, a bit like the sort of grey style.
Oh, yeah.
Pasty face.
Yeah, yeah.
Serious looking. And a bit of... recorded the song, though, crouched in a tiny booth 925 metres underground, just to get the feel right
feel.
None of these are the go.
No.
What about Todd and Brant do Adam and Brant music?
Oh.
I want to hear some Brant music. Unplug the main show. And do the Zolviva. Brant.
I just want a bit more Brant. I just love hearing the word Brant.
Brant. Alien Brant Farm.
That'll work.
I don't know. What about giving him an angry editorial on Sunrise? The Brant Rant. Every day, an angry Brant live from a tiny cage 925 metres below the studio. Time for today.
Just shouting up.
That's the Brant Rant. And everywhere he goes, fans screaming, why is your name Brant? You can't just say I'm going to combine Brad and Brent. You can't just do that.
Walk around.
Wouldn't that be a name?
No.
That would be loud. That'll be anarchy. They're calling themselves Brodney and Brigel. Brahomid. Why is his name Brad? Never been addressed.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of paragraphs about that bloke. Never once asked about the name.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the story before that was that they had fallen out.
No.
Did you read that one as well?
Really solo careers.
Yeah, that's true. Like that they, not necessarily enemies, but they weren't. They don't socialise together and whatever.
Okay. So at the Arias, right, when they're up for best single, but they've fallen out. So one of them comes out, right, with his missus. And then...
Nickel Brand.
Yeah, Nickel Brand.
And then the other one walks on, like a reunion on stage. And then they're hugging, now we're back together, covering the old Carly and Jason number.
Especially for you.
Wow. Just, have you got any recording news over there, Mr. Marsden? What have you got? So, who did you mention, Samantha Fox, off air?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know the statue's gone up in Serbia. Mm.
Well, that's interesting that you bring it up, because apparently they're going to pull it down. Because she's burnt them. They're not happy with Samantha Fox.
Oh, so there'll be footage like in the
band,
you know,
full
band. Samantha Fox statue coming down.
Samantha Fox insurgents causing havoc, being dragged through the city square. They were beginning to build the statue, and then she didn't turn up to the event. And so they've actually nixed the Samantha Fox statue in the nation of Serbia.
No. Is the one of Rocky still up there, though?
Yeah. That's fine.
He hasn't let them down.
Sylvester Stallone's all gone.
Yeah.
But the other story is that apparently the sculptors got to the bus part, and then they actually ran out of cement.
Paul, read this news story.
That's earlier.
Don't worry about it. I've got a bathtub around my neck.
No, I voted for you. Now, listen. Can you just read this story? And I'm going to joke about it, right? You read the drum good.
He's got his Boeing crew ready to go.
Hey, there's more going on in show business. Those Logies are getting closer.
Oh,
we're going to talk about that next time. Get there. AC/DC, you shook me all night long.
They would say that, would they?
Here at Triple M, the show is Get This. Tony Martin and Cavalry, Richard Marsden, all wearing capes as we bring the show to you during Caperl, where you could win an iMac, a real 24-inch iMac,
personally drawn on by us.
What's the word?
Without a sandwich. Just no, shush. You've got three sandwiches queued up and ready to go, and another three over there in a bag.
Yeah.
Have one.
I will.
Before we speak.
Sorry.
I reckon.
Sorry.
We're going to be drawing a winner. Is that what you're saying? No, we're not going to be drawing a winner. We're going to be awarding the computer to whoever gives us the best shot of it.
Oh.
Going about the everyday business.
Yeah, we have been very clear on this.
With the addition of a cape.
Now, we've got some wonderful entries.
Who's that bloke just standing at the fax machine,
Kristen,
looking bored with a cape? That is masterpiece.
Kristen,
that's brilliant.
You've done yourself. Picture a man in a suit, looks like he hates his life and his job, like, you know, with the boringest job in the world, and then a beautiful green velvet cape.
Fully as well.
Beautiful. Here we go. They're the lunatics they've sent theirs in there. That's not. Here we are. Here's a nice, here's a lady digging a hole.
That's fantastic.
With a kid completely wrapped up in a cape.
Wow. So it's a mother-daughter cape team.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
This is nice. This is from Richard Highland. We might be related, Richard. Who's just standing in his corridor with a piece of kind of chiffon turned around his neck.
Giving the thumbs up.
And here he is changing his tie.
That's what we're talking about.
Doing some mundane activity.
Yeah, what we read.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Could get caught in all sorts of wheeljacks.
Now, there's a Caperl gallery starting on the website if you want to see some of these photos. Yeah. The ones we're mentioning here will be added today, hopefully.
Certainly right. Yeah. This being the most visual show on radio, just try and imagine them.
I'd like to think that everyone's going to be caped up as they arrive at the Logies this year, and that's getting closer.
And who will be talking to them normally?
Here we go.
Richard Wilkins.
Oh, Dickie Wilkins.
Listen
to this. Jules Lund.
Long-term
fashion expert when he does the red carpet special on Channel 9.
Yeah, right.
For the Logies. Gee, Lund moving up the ladder. Has he leapfrogged over TV hopeful Jake Wall?
Oh, I think the hopes of TV hopeful Jake Wall have been dashed.
Really dashed?
I don't think ever since he, you know, swanned about on the ice. No sign of him.
No word on this. He one of the three deaths that they've been hushing up?
Yeah,
three deaths during that skating show. It's all been hushed up.
Tell you what.
Right. Yeah.
Tell you what.
The most fatalities ever for an ice skating program, that's what I heard.
Wow, beat the Dutch record of two and a feet.
The two and a severing.
What? Have you got
TV Week? Never to be found wanting for a competition, our friends at TV Week.
Hmm.
Who do you want to send to the Noogie? They've got six finalists, and they've all, here they are, given a makeover.
Right.
Lovely dudes, everybody. And then they've got reasons as to why they should go to the Logies.
Now, this is what's interesting.
Because they've all gone a slightly different angle.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be interesting to see what resonates with the TV Week readers, a lightened bunch that they are. So we've got Cara. So Cara's kind of like, there we go.
Yeah, where is she from?
TV Week. It doesn't say. So she says she's interested in fashion and makeup.
right? So she'd like to go to Logie's to look at fashion and makeup.
Right, okay.
It's quite a standard response.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you've got Dante. He's the choker. I want to dance with Daryl, feud with Bert, tempt with Ed, and keep an eye on Gretel. Take me to Logie's. So he'd be a card. And then you've got Dolly. Dolly's here, and she says she wants to go to the Logie's because I can't get enough of TV Week, and I would love to take my sister along. She's sucking up. Big suck up. Then the big guns come out. Ready? Time for the heartstrings. We've got Renee Tanner. My daughter-in-law, Renee, deserves a makeover. Her daughter, something, and her husband had an accident. She needs some joy.
Oh,
and she was nominated by her mother-in-law. But here we go. So you've got a choice. You can go with heartstrings, sucking up,
yeah,
or just like fashionable,
yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Then there's this. I'm a single mum who never gets a break. This is Nicole Clark speaking. To have the opportunity to go to the Logies would be simply unbelievable.
So where did they find these people for the photo? They've just chosen five people at random.
And then she said, give us some heartstrings. And then this one, there's Richard M, who says, I'm an out-of-work panel operator. He's got a new pavement T-shirt and nowhere to wear it. And I'm a single mum. So I...
Is that like getting out of boat?
I think so.
Wow.
Where
will you be sitting? Because that's the thing about the load.
What I was going to say.
Are you going to be at the front with Eddie?
Yep.
Or are you going to be right up the back?
Up the back.
With Jules London, Jake Wall. Or are you going to be where our Logie's man,
maybe,
Pete Smith?
Oh, the Smith.
Out in the corridor. They actually put his table out in the corridor last year. He wasn't in the main room.
Just peering around the corner.
Just enunciating.
Our man in the corridor, Pete Smith.
But then, you know, obviously the further away you are from the stage, the lower status you have in the TV industry. But the closer you are to the toilet, where all the gear goes down, where the action is.
Literally. You ever seen anything?
Never been to the Logie's.
Never been?
No. I think I've been banned.
No, what'd you do?
Well, because the Late Show won.
Oh, yeah.
And we sent Pete Smith up.
Yeah, hilarious.
Logie's scraped the shits and said, you're never going to be allowed here again.
Oh.
Even though Pete killed.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
It was a comedy award.
Literally, he killed, literally.
He did. He's been known to kill
some people out.
Not for the first time.
He had another snake as well, bit Tim Webster in the face again.
All right, are we all done on the Logie? Yeah.
What we're saying is,
I'm actually quite interested to find out who wins this competition.
Yeah, we'll be following that.
Whether it's heartstrings, hilarity, or just kind of, I'd like to look pretty somewhere.
You're so undernourished today, Ed. I can just feel it again. You haven't had enough to eat. We are going to help you out today. Tasty snacks. Have you heard about the Bogan Burger?
No.
Have you heard what's in it?
Lots.
We'll be talking about that next.
They look like two innocent young girls, so I didn't think anything of it.
It's around the nation on Triple M, where it is April. I tell you what, it's not easy wearing a cape around the office.
So many things for it to catch on.
Not when you move like you do, because you pace a lot.
That's true.
Endless snags when you walk, Martin.
Just pulling a pile of chairs, microphones,
and sales guys.
You're going to a meeting? There's an idea I didn't know about.
I tell you though, April, it did seem like such a good idea at the time.
Well, it didn't.
Oh.
I mean, you know, forget about what seemed. Okay. I'll tell you what was.
Yeah, okay.
And the work on it started in November.
I know.
And that is right.
Yeah.
That's been the case for the last 10 years.
Okay. He's so adamant about these things. And then he just walks off. Comes in, says his piece, and then walks off.
Yeah.
Where did he find the time?
That's our booth man for you.
Hey, let's hear some music. Let's hear some
man.
Come on, thing was easy top today. What have you got for
something fresh off the presses?
Yeah.
All weekend, I've been learning to tap.
Oh, yes.
Working on my Freddie Mercury. I know that you, Richard, have been working on your impersonations of old female movie stars.
Yep, sure.
And Tony, what have you been doing?
I've just been struggling with this game.
Okay, then let's put that all together. Are you ready, Rich?
Sure.
One, two, three, four.
I want to talk to you.
The last time we talked, Mr. Smith, you reduced me to tears. I promise you it won't happen again.
Grace Kelly here. Get this on Triple M. A lot of people calling up. We replayed Slim Shady Senior. on Friday's show, people wanting to know where they can get a copy of it. It's at the end of the latest Get This podcast.
Yes. What's in it, Tone?
Podcast 74. I can't remember what's in it apart from that.
Good.
A bit of David O'Doherty.
The D.O.D.
But it's a gold mine. Oh, I shouldn't say gold mine. Oh, no, here comes Will Ferrell. It's prospector Gus Jiggins.
Oh, Gus doesn't know about book reading or how to eat in a fancy restaurant. Oh, heck. I've been called dirty, lazy, smelly, shifty, kooky, spooky, and Chinese.
Sorry, we just love any excuse to play a bit of Gus Chiggins.
Love the sound of pots banging in his
feet. Is the key if you're a grizzled prospector.
You know it.
Shall we climb Talkback Mountain?
Let's do it.
I'm always feeling peckish when craft work hit the stage. You know what that austere German music does? It just gets me thinking cholesterol.
Thinking bratwurst.
Have a look at this, Ed Cavalli.
Oh.
That is something called...
Oh, my God.
The Bogan Burger.
Give me a look.
I'll just read you the ingredients. Oh. This is being served up.
That's okay. There's a picture of steaks on the back of the article. I'm quite happy with those.
Something for everybody.
Mm.
In Melbourne at the Napier Hotel in Fitzroy, the Bogan Burger.
What's in Australia?
Yeah. $15.50, a big Turkish bread roll, top of the steak, a chicken schnitzel, potato cake, bacon, egg, cheese, onion, pineapple and beetroot. Comes with a mountain of fat potato wedges and salad. Chef Charlie
Salad.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure that'll be discarded. Chef Charlie Shepherd says it's become immensely popular. We sell about 15 a day. Listen to this. It's mainly blokey, action-free football to soak up a lot of beer. But you get the rowdy nurses in, too.
Rowdy nurses?
That's my idea of heaven.
Just a rowdy nurse in a uniform ordering one of those.
But keep in mind, you know, this goes on all over the world. In 2005, Denny's Beer Barrel Pub in Pennsylvania introduced its Beer Barrel Belly Buster, 4-kilogram patty buried beneath 25 cheese slices on a 40-centimetre bun.
It's just...
Too much.
It's too much for me, you know?
Mm.
You could sleep on that burger.
You could, but look at the Bogan.
Just look at that. I'd like to look at it.
And let me just tear my so-called jokes off the top.
I'll look, you tell jokes.
Process.
Wow, behind the scenes.
Mm. I'll have a coronary, thank you very much. Just serve that up. If you're going that far, if it's that much meat, I say just get a whole lot of rissoles, put them in a tennis ball machine, and just have them fire down your throat.
Wouldn't that be the challenge? I would take that challenge.
And is that...
Okay, I've got an idea.
Is that what we're doing today?
No, a series of tennis ball machines set up, right?
Yeah.
And some hungry types, myself and the like.
Mm.
And you fire rissoles. What you catch, you eat.
Well, what we want today is, have you actually done something like that?
Yeah.
Tasty snacks of your own invention.
Oh, I love it when we do this.
Tasty snacks.
I've invented a new meal. It's after dessert.
Yeah.
And it's called Papa. It's porridge for supper. And what it is
after dinner porridge.
No, after dessert. So you've had your dinner.
Yeah. And you've had your dessert.
You've had your dessert.
I feel like porridge now.
Yeah. And you're thinking, I'm a bit peckish. I don't know if I'll be able to get to sleep. Massive bowl of porridge with delicious nuts and honey.
Right.
I've never had dessert.
Dessert is
really.
Never had dessert. Never made it that far.
But it's just too much after a big meal.
Sunday,
delicious Sunday.
No. Well, I mean, I've had it, you know, as separately as part of its own meal.
Have you ever
an addendum to the meal? I've never had it.
I once saw Richard Marsden at an airport have a meal that consisted of a large McDonald's sundae and a packet and chips and hot chips.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet and sour. See, that's a good thing. Tricking the taste buds.
What do you
get? Back and forth, you get some grapes in one hand, some salt vinegar chips in the other.
Oh, tongue?
It's playing with the mind of your tongue, as it were.
It's awful. What tongue?
Just go bang, bang, just alternate shots.
Bang, chuck, chuck.
Just keeping your tongue on its toes.
Oh, dear, dear.
But have you ever eaten that much meat, Mr. Markle? There's in there a 4-kilogram patty.
I'm quite good these days at getting a roast happening.
Yeah.
Because roasts are great, because they're about 20 minutes of work, and then you just let it go for 5 hours, and you come back, and you're the hero to about 6 or 7
It's true.
Feed everyone. It's minimum work. I'm good at a roast beef, a roast chicken. I can do anything.
Swirl off in your cake. Your kitchen cake. What about a submarine sandwich? A U571 submarine sandwich. An actual submarine carved out of kebab meat.
with a crew of 150 who have to eat their way out.
I like that.
Bon Jovi leading the way.
Kebab sauce in his hair.
That's too much. That's okay. Too much. No, we want actual stuff that
we
you
want actual about. Stuff. I've rediscovered Special K.
Delicious. Yeah, really? Delicious.
On the phone, that's your idea.
No. With Weet-Bix and nuts and muesli and honey and bananas. Delicious. We are looking for recipes of your own creation. Tasty snacks.
Listen, and don't worry if you think that this is the time to, if you want to use a fake name, because if you think it's weird or whatever it is, like Tone's salt and vinegar and grapes, example was perfect. If you like it, then it's okay. All right, let's share some love.
All right, so the bloke with eight ball bearings in the NADS.
Give us a ring. What do they taste like?
He is his real name. Yeah. And if you're eating salt vinegar chips and grapes, oh, you might want to adopt the food. What are you talking about?
I just don't want people to think that they're too weird to ring in.
Call us with your tasty snack recipe one. Jones, she thinks it's about Howard Jones. That's why.
Most things are.
So Richard reckons it's about Counting Crows. It's get this. It's on Triple M. It's in the vicinity of lunchtime. Maybe people haven't got any lunch ideas here.
Absolutely right, Tone.
Thank God for the get this listeners.
Thank goodness. Hello, Evan. How are you?
Good, boys. Yourself?
We are starving. Talk us through a snack,
mate. It's called a nacho sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Some bread, some guacamole, cheese, and some hot sauce. Whack it in a focaccia machine. Pull it out about 5 minutes later, and you've got yourself a pretty nice meal.
And you tried everything, and there was all that was left.
That was it.
Okay, thank you, Evan. I'm going to be trying that one. Hello, Brett. Oh, hey, Brett, how are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
Oh, I'm starving. What do you got?
Mate, steamed dim sims cut in half.
Yeah.
And on a sandwich, peanut butter and Vegemite. Then you put the dim sims in between, mate, and hoe down.
Board of necessity.
Well, that's pretty easy to do in the workplace, I would have thought.
But you said steamed dim sims. The fried ones don't work?
Nah, too crunchy, mate. Too crunchy.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. They're going to mess up the consistency of the smoothness of the peanut butter and the veggie, mate. Is that the problem if they're fried?
Yeah, that's it. But I mean, you can always throw in a bit of soy sauce on them too, mate, just for a bit of expansion on the flavour.
In case there's not enough flavour, you can you're a connoisseur, Brett. I like it.
Can we go yummier?
John, how are you?
Not too bad, mate.
All right, good, man. We'll talk us through a snack.
Mate, yeah, one night there, a bloke there, a mate of mine, we made a sandwich. I think it was ham. I got ham, cheese, tomato, pizza shapes. So I think I had some pickled bread on it as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm running a little risk myself. So, it's a ham, a big bit of ham, sort of wrapped around the crunchiness of a pizza shape in a sandwich.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. That is awful.
I've yet to hear anything a Labrador would say no to, though.
Oh, yes, at this point. All right, thanks, John. Hi, Neil. How are you?
G'day.
Talk us through it, mate.
It's a bit of a snack one. It's not for the meal of the day.
No.
But you get your cheesels or your cheese twisties and you follow it down with some caramello chocolate.
Oh!
I've seen what you eat every day. How can you turn your nose up at this?
I don't like this one, Tone.
Try it. Give it a go.
No, but don't you have like a sort of chemical cheesy residue in your mouth when the caramel and chocolate dives in?
Oh, yeah, but it just sort of subsumes it and takes it all with it at the same time, and it's a nice feeling at the end. It's a good movie watching meal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like a huge food orgy going on in your mouth.
Everyone's invited.
It's a short bus on the phone.
Oh, there you go.
Hey,
okay,
thank you.
I know, that's very unpleasant. Sorry.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Paul.
Oh, g'day, guys. Hey, listen, this is a bachelor food. It's curry tuna on toast. It's got onion in it,
yeah,
and with soy sauce.
Ooh, yeah.
And yeah, she's good bachelor food.
Yeah, well.
All Fury sandwich.
All Fury tuna toast.
Does it seem like Fury? Are you not wearing a cape, sir?
I could be wearing a cape.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. As they get out of the joint.
Thank you, Paul. Lynn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Lynn, talk us through it.
It's not something I've done for over 30 years, but we used to eat our meat pies with chocolate Freddo frogs. We would scoop the meat out and eat it.
So you create a chocolate pie?
Yes.
How do you
something in our early teens, and it was just beautiful, though. It would melt the chocolate a little bit, but it just went together very nice.
Snouts and Freddo.
But in those days, you only had plain chocolate. You didn't have the choice of the different Freddos you get today.
Man,
30 years is a long time. I think
more
you've got to jump.
30, actually.
Get back in the pool and give it a bell today.
Is that it? One more.
One more.
Hey, hey, Murray, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are we doing, guys?
We're feeling a bit ill. Talk us through it. What do you got for us?
Salt and vinegar nachos.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Chili sauce, salt and vinegar chips
in the microwave. What happens to the chips in the microwave, though?
You've got to pull them out before the cheese burns.
It's like a souffle. You've got to keep your eye on it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That is a great idea. Thank you. We will be creating a fact sheet. We obviously need a recipe section on our website.
I think we need a recipe section. Mm. Yeah, I think that's got to be the next instalment.
Yeah, well.
Which one really got to you, Tone? I reckon I'll be losing sleep over the pies and the Freddo.
Yeah, I like the idea of hollowing out a pie, putting a Freddo in, and then, of course, the Freddo itself is already hollow.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine how many hollow foods? Imagine if you could get, like, Russian doll style.
No, that's good.
10 or 12 foods, all of, you know, conflicting styles and genres.
Until you, at the end, it's just a cacao which has been hollowed out.
That's what you start with.
Oh.
And you get it down to a single pea in the centre.
Oh, look at
that. Here's a project for tomorrow.
You want to
know? And joining us for the next hour, Tim Minchin.
It's a wonderful love story, beautiful music, and great characters.
You and I, sort of, we've got matching capes.
We're in the same group.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
In fact, it's creating a divide here in the studio. Capes versus the rest.
All right.
We're not talking to the rest.
No, sir. Well, it's like hobbits and orcs in here today. We've got many of the hobbits at the back of the crowd in Lord of the Rings just barked out bulldogs.
Yeah, you can't tell on film.
Yeah.
But from the distance, the barked out looks like a cape.
That's the point. Surely, you know, Dave Brady was telling us a cape should be de rigueur for your keyboardist. You're all into the keyboard. What do you have on?
I wear a long jacket, so it's like a tip of the hat to the cape. But I just don't have the guts to pull the cape off. So to speak.
So you've got a frock coat.
It's sort of a frock coat, like a morning coat, really.
It doesn't sort of look like a hobo.
No. It's the kind of coat that if Seagal had it on,
yeah,
he could be, like, concealing a couple of pump actions behind
it. Yeah.
Which I might be. That's actually the best thing about my show. Just that question hanging over the audience.
Is he packing heat?
Is he packing heat?
Well,
is this pin packing a piece?
Many questions we'll be asking in this hour, but I have to say, Tim, are you a fan of Will Ferrell? We were playing a bit of Just Chickens earlier.
I think he's amazing.
We've had a lot of calls, people saying, now that you've played that, surely we can have a bit of the cowbell.
Yeah.
You love the cowbell sketch?
I do.
With Christopher Walken demanding more cowbell.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, we're going to nerd down.
Surely this makes sense.
Guess what? I got fever. The only prescription is your capital.
Lover boy working for the weekend on Monday here at Get This Around the Nation. Some more of that applause. Come on, for Tim mentioned it.
It's quite a lot just walking around, but
yeah, need applause.
Totally.
Look what I did, I shopped. Oh, milk.
What a lot of buttons you've got, Mr. Mars. I just push one at random.
What you're looking for is a poop in the arse.
Oh, open the arse. People want that for a ringtone. We better get that up on the website, Nicky.
Mm-hmm. That's how people want to answer their phone.
Hey.
What are you going to say?
No, I was going to ask how the ringtone gallery was going.
Yeah, oh, it needs updating. I mean, being a musician, Tim, do you find, is it hard choosing a ringtone for your phone? There's a lot of pressure there.
No, I always use my own stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
This sounds good.
Who wrote that? So every time the phone rings, it's the plug.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, I think I want to get into creating ringtones. It's actually why I'm doing comedy. I started out in the music industry. Eventually, if you really work hard in comedy and music, you can get to ringtone.
Yeah,
right. You can retire.
Yeah. Crazy Frog stand-up act. It was amazing.
He sold out a bit because he used to do all that weird kind of magic stuff. He was a sword swallower originally. The Crazy Frog. That's what stuffed up his voice.
Exactly right.
Crazy Frog.
The last time, was it a year ago that you were here, Tim?
Yes.
And you were threatening to return to the theatre, I remember. And you did, didn't you, in Perth?
I did. I went and did a play.
How was that with proper actors? Do they look a bit down the nose, thinking that maybe... Because sometimes actors be comedians can turn ugly.
Yeah, well, I was an actor before I was a comedian, sort of, but I was really nervous because I don't act very often because I do all this other stuff now, and it was good. It was really good. There's a guy called Dennis Olsen who played, I was doing Amadeus, played Salieri, which is this huge role, and watching him do the craft, you know. I mean, he's a 70-year-old dude, and it was really good learning experience, but it's... Actually, I always go, I want to do more acting, but actually it's not as fun as just standing up and saying what you want.
Yeah. It's because you're stuck on the script. You can't just, where you're from.
Yeah.
What do you do for a job?
It's actually like you're putting on a performance rather than having a conversation. So, you know, like there's no communication with the audience.
But my dear, Mozart, he goes to get mental in that play, doesn't he?
Yeah.
For a bit of antics.
Oh, there was certainly some antics, yeah. But they were antics as scripted antics.
So not even on, because, I mean, I've only really done amateur theatre. And, of course,
and you were wonderful.
You were so, did you remember that? When he understudied Pontius Pilate.
I still talk about it.
I was the amusing constable in the stage version of Tom Jones.
I'm not going to do the wordplay on that.
Never once amused. Failed to amuse night after night.
It's actually tough, Monica, to have the amusing constable.
It's really hard.
And he doesn't appear till the end of the play, so you can see people who are falling asleep going, well, at least the amusing constable.
Yeah, can't wait for that constable. He's going to be very amusing.
And I think my first line was, hello, 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 what's all this then? And during the matinee, I think the first matinee we did, like a 9-year-old kid, I mean, hello, 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 what's all this then? And he just went, tedious and unrealistic. Just don't come back for that.
It's good to get a review early so you can make the changes.
Put that on the poster. But hang on, the final night of most amateur theatre plays, as I recall it, is a festival of pranks. Stuffing up other people's cues and
coming on with a penguin in the pocket.
Oh, my God.
You did what? Well, actually, I've been in professional plays that have been worse than any... Because if you do a long run of like an outdoor Shakespeare or something, everyone gets very silly as they go on. And we were trying to put movie titles into Shakespearean text, and I think I got 7 into one monologue. I can't remember any Shakespearean text nor any movie titles.
Days of Thunder, that'll slip right in there.
Totally is.
That would work.
Yeah,
like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. Harder than the Mutant Ninja Turtle. It's actually iambic pentameter. That's why they created it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they rock.
But there's, in the park, wasn't there something Denzel Washington who was in Shakespeare in the park?
Yeah.
He was actually mugged while waiting to go on.
Yeah, right.
The full Shakespeare.
Who mugged Denzel Washington?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Morgan Freeman.
Grabbed his tights and his codpiece and off they went.
Have you done that, Shakespeare in the park, Ed?
Me?
Yeah, you're an actor.
Oh, you've done some acting.
No, I did.
Going all coy now.
I played the grave digger in the production of Hamlet in Sydney, really, which theatre? Australian Theatre for Young People, ATYP, down there. I did a bang up job. I also played guard number one, and one night I forgot to go on stage for one of my, like, jostling.
And it mattered so little that they said, don't bother next time either.
Oh, it was noticed. Because I had to jostle someone.
Some guy sitting there going,
just had to jostle himself. Ladies had to hold himself back.
And the review said, I don't know about this dancing lady.
And they never forgave you. And you had to run away to Melbourne.
Here I am.
Ed Keverley, he's self-jostling. Let's talk more to Tim Minchin about, not about what he did last year. Let's talk about what he's doing now. We'll do that next one. Get this. Saw you the other night on Specs and Specs, and tonight the gala, the comedy festival gala.
Yeah, it's on tonight. I did a couple of songs at the gala, I want to see what they've edited out.
A little bit close to the Oxfam bone.
Oh, really?
What is?
Well, who knows? I think they liked it.
Yeah, but they do a bit of tidying up, don't they?
They really do, yeah.
Well, it's a long show.
It's a 3-hour show live, and they have to get it back to an hour and a half or something. Yeah.
But what about your show that you're doing at the Comedy Festival in Melbourne? What are you up to there?
Well, rather cheekily, given that I've been in the comedy game for 2 years, I'm kind of doing a best of.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the memories.
It's almost a final tour.
No, but if people haven't seen you before, making...
Well, that's it. I feel like I've done this couple of full-on years where I was writing and stuff, and I've recently moved to London and had a baby and stuff and been touring in the UK, and I haven't had time to write, and I really wanted to come back to Australia for this festival season, and I thought lots of people haven't seen the stuff, so as long as I advertise it honestly and don't pretend it's a new show, then people will come along and enjoy the hits if they've seen it before.
Enjoy the hits.
That's how the light is in the air.
Yeah, you know,
it's the hits.
And where are my hits, don't you? The English, how do they take to you? You've done well at Edinburgh.
Yeah.
But is it a different kind? I mean, in Edinburgh, they love Australian people because they assume we hate English people as much as they do.
Right.
But how, when you get south of the border, how do you go there?
Look, England has been really good for me. I find the difference in audiences actually comes more within the countries. Like, your city audiences generally can cop anything because they do on a daily basis in the underground, you know. But then you go out to your little regional things, and I've been touring regionally, and they're a little bit... that's when you get your hate mail.
Oh, really?
Well, not your hate mail, but why did you have to swear? You were quite funny and nice on the piano. Why do you have to swear, young man? I don't have to swear yet. In Australia, it's the same. You know, you go to a comedy festival, and of course, everyone's up for anything because they've seen the whole range of possibilities. Whereas if you go out into your regionals, then you'll lose a little percentage of the audience with you.
And you find that out during the show.
The kind of thing where you start a song and go, Jesus and, you know, whatever. this witty mix of Jesus and homosexual sex is not really, not going down as well. Well, that's hilarious because I do. I play in quite a lot of converted churches, and quite a lot of my material is a sort of converted church of its own.
And then you go, myself and Mick Malloy do places like Bendigo.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a lot of fruity jokes for, 2 hours. But people would come along in suit and tie.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I just did His Majesty's in Perth, and it's a beautiful...
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the most beautiful theatres in the country, and it's my hometown, so I was thrilled to be there. But you really get the feeling for the first half hour, the audience is going, whoa, we're at the theatre. And then you have to kind of... earn them back into their pub mentality. You sort of go, no, you're not, guys. It looks like a theatre, but it's just me doing stupid thumbs.
Have a chook raffle to start off.
Get everyone, right, here you go. Out the chocolate wheel. And the winner is Betty. Now, back to Jesus.
Have you ever been run out of town? Have you ever gone somewhere? I know the puppetry of the Penis Boys. Literally run out of town in a few small towns in Australia.
Who's running them out of town? Like, honestly, Puppetry of the Penis, they're pretty clear about what product they're selling. You can turn up to their show expecting Ed being the dancing guard in Hamlet, and you really haven't read your program at all.
Yeah.
What were they thinking? It was a metaphor for something much cleaner?
I thought it was a bit of Ian Esco.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I bet they would be running out before they even got into the theatre.
I suspect. Oh, right.
They're cape wearers.
They're cape wearers.
Oh,
they're
way back. Yeah,
yeah.
It's always capable in that show.
Yeah. Those guys wear capes in a way that no one's ever worn a cape before.
Wow, it's a very... Because I ushered for that show in Sydney.
Oh, really?
So I saw it 30-something times in a row, and I've never seen a crowd more just, like,
disgusted.
Yeah, Like, they would come at the balls.
Balls are funny. I always thought they were disgusting, but they're funny. I can't believe it.
And they come out in, like, wide-eyed frenzy just trying to grab stuff. And there was the usher who had to work on the front door.
Yeah.
I was sort of down in the aisles. He would get... massively groped every single night.
You can have a go. Hey.
I for 2 years in a row have done the show after them in Edinburgh. So they come down to the change room every night. Change room's kind of, you know, it's not like they hide behind the curtain. I'm sitting there, I turn up to my show and they're sitting there warming up their scrotum. Doing these sort of stretches. And I go, g'day boys, g'day Tim. Oh, yeah,
you're going to warm up the scrot, Tim?
No, I'm just going to do my finger exercises. Tell you what, you warm up your scrot. I'm just going to sit here.
All right, it's Ball Sack Central today here at Gizzes.
When is it? No.
Hey, you know, there's a song. We don't play it on this show, but you must know the Rolling Stones. You can't always get what you want.
Mm, mm, mm.
According to Ed Cavalier, that's nonsense.
Yep.
You can always get what you
always.
Want.
Is that true, Ed?
Yep.
We're going to prove
buy
it.
My series of tapes.
$600 a tape. You'll be laughing.
All right, let's prove that. You want to stick around and play You Can Always Get What You Want?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
I don't know what it is, but it's next.
After all is said and done, the race is not over, it's almost done, you're a winner.
Fasten your capes, everybody. It is Capril here at Get This on Triple M. Tim Minchin is with us. He's impressed by how we're actually wearing bath towels around the neck today.
Yeah, I feel like a sort of sexy foursome. Since we brought up puppetry of the penis wearing capes, I sort of feel like we're overdressed. You know?
All right, then.
Because the point of a cape is it covers nothing.
That's true.
Except the back, which is the least.
Yeah, what is the point of it? Why were they invented?
Don't ask that
what
now.
I think it's warm.
You're not boiling in here.
And you're just under a bath towel. I mean, in the old days, they weren't bath towels, mate. They were capes.
They were woolen, weren't they?
They were made of sheep.
Yeah. Actual sheep. Now you wonder why we were getting no entries. We want people to wear a cape to work for a full day. Send us a photo of you just going about your business, and you'll be in the running for an iMac, a 24-inch iMac.
Right? They still make them.
Still making those. Well, I've got the old iMac that's...
The bubbly one.
Yeah, the bubbly one.
Yeah.
They were great. And remember when they came out?
You just could not conceive of a time when we would get cooler than that.
That's true. It was the height. It was like, I've got a green one. There's a red one coming out.
Yeah. Oh, no. How is there possibly a red one?
I'm going to change up and repaint my house. Yeah. But there was, I reckon, 10 months after I bought it. And I bought it when it first came out.
Yeah.
Guy came around to my house to fix it. And he's going, oh, still got one of the originals, have you?
Now those mats date movies, because everyone in every film ever went, oh, we've got to get one of those newfangled mats for our movie. And now you watch a movie and go, oh, so embarrassing.
And mobile phones, which mobile phone they have dating movie? Didn't the guy in Die Hard have the briefcase one?
Yeah.
And how the briefcase and cigar is also dating the movie.
How little or much hair he's got, but it fluctuates from film to film.
How well they've painted his head.
I don't see how this is helping us get to
work.
Oh, yes.
Talking
about
seamless.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been saying in private life, I can't remember if I said it on air, but I want to join a soccer team. I want to, you know, go and play some sport. You know, get out there and see some sunlight. Because pretty much these days, Tim, the weekend is just right. Friday after work, DVDs. Monday back to work. Right, so I got to branch out a little bit. But I think I've seen everything on YouTube.
Everything.
Yeah, I need some more people.
You've done YouTube.
I've done it.
I've watched YouTube.
I saw that. Until someone else kicks someone else in the nuts and puts it up there, I ain't got nothing. So but anyway, an email arrived today, Tone, through you from our friend Tony Wilson, saying that he's got a soccer team. And then he'd like me to join.
He's got his own height. Wow.
My height, they're going to put my height to good use. I'm a menace in the box, Rich.
Great. Oh, I'm a menace.
So, yes, I'm joining, and I got what I wanted, and it's great. And so, applying that theory, you've decided that in all things, in all life, you can get what you want.
Yes, if you do
extraordinary conclusion.
If you do nothing about it, it will come to you.
And so, surely there's been an example for you, Tim. I mean, for me, I was so keen to get the Criterion laser disc. Of Spinal Tap. Now out of print.
I know, Tim.
The Laserdisc.
Yeah, the Laserdisc.
Do you still own a collection of Laserdiscs?
I do, but I'm...
How many you got?
I'm down to about 60 now, because, you know, slowly but surely the DVDs are replacing them. But there are certain ones that will never be replaced, like the Criterion Spinal Tap. Now a collector's item. That's for, I think, $1 million on eBay.
$1 million?
Maybe $2 million. Wow. With the genuine Spinal Tap.
Do you know guitar pick.
Do you know what, Tony? When you get into your 60s and they're doing like an antiques roadshow, but it's now called Laserdisc Roadshow, and you're just going to be there, oh, this is a fascinating one. You only made 1600. That is a job that you've got.
You're telling me. Maybe David Dickinson could get on board.
That's a job for you.
But then I got it signed by Harry Shearer.
Oh.
And Derek Small. That was a good feeling.
You got it.
Yeah, I did actually. That was an example of getting what I wanted.
That's amazing.
But I'm constantly haunted by that episode of The Simpsons where they drive to the tip and there's a big pile of VHS cassettes. And then they go a bit further, and there's a big pile of laser discs. And then there's just an empty spot with reserve for DVD.
Yeah.
What's it now? HD, DVD?
What's
going on there?
I don't understand.
Blu-ray.
The technology scares me.
How much sharper do the pictures need to be? Really?
They're making real life look all fuzzy.
Steve, it's a go. He doesn't want people to see his hairline that closely. He doesn't want it on HD.
I get into arguments with my wife where I just go, sharpen up.
It's like you're not stacking up to the two-dimensional version of yourself that I'd take yesterday.
But you've got, a wife and a kid.
That's like, a baby, yeah.
That's what you wanted, I guess, an example of something.
Well, I certainly did some of the things that you do when you want a kid.
Yeah.
You
just drop into your lap.
And then once you have a kid, you don't get all the stuff you want.
Like sleep
or sex.
Okay.
Oh, really? You don't. Well, look, I think everyone that has kids knows this, and everyone that doesn't probably project, but after you have a kid, you don't actually have a great deal of sex.
Really?
Not for quite some time.
I would have thought you guys would be like, well, we're obviously good at it.
Keep this up. This is the thing. This is paying off. I was away in Perth, and my wife and my baby were here in Melbourne recently, and I thought, you know, the baby's a few months old, and I thought, I might start a bit of sort of harmless flirting with my wife. Get a bit of frisson happening, and then when I get back to Melbourne, maybe we'll fall into each other's arms. Hey. And I sent a text to her saying, you know, something like, I want you sexy or something, and she sent me home back saying the baby just vomited in my mouth.
I'm on a plane.
Is that an example of
can? I don't know, but listen, call us up. Tell us an example of, well, where you actually for once did get what you actually wanted. 1-3-3-5-3. Apparently,
hi Adam.
Yeah, g'day guys, how you going?
Where? What did you get?
I got a 12-inch action figure of Indiana Jones from Singapore.
You had your eye on that, mate.
I had my eye on for about 5 years.
Oh, and that's amazing.
It was, and there's only 3,000 of them worldwide.
Hmm.
And he had a real leather jacket, a real leather whip, a real cocking pistol, real socks, real leather boots.
And did you say real socks?
Yeah, real socks.
My goodness.
And he's still in his box, and he cost me about $1,000.
And is he growing in value every day?
Yeah, every day that he's in that box, he gets more and more expensive.
Yeah, this is the thing. I once got for a friend of mine a present of a Boss Hog action figure. And I found that in San Francisco, and I went, yes. And I've given it to him, brought it back to Australia, give it to him. He's torn it open immediately.
No.
Oh, you don't do that.
Action figures are not for playing with, people.
How do you know who's cocking pistol cocks if you haven't got it out of the box?
Okay. No, I'm just assuming it does because they told me that it does, but I'm not willing to try it out.
You fool. You and 2,999 other people have been gypped by the non-cocking cocks in the box.
All right, that's enough talk of non-cocking.
Thank you, Adam. Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Hello, boys. How are you?
We're great. What do you got?
Yeah, I wanted to get my mate something good for his 21st. I mean, that didn't have a hell of a lot of money. And I've turned up at a Harry Shearer was at like a Simpsons exhibition in Sydney, signing all these really expensive Simpsons cells. And I don't have much cash, so I've grabbed like one of the cardboard posters, and he's written on it to Matthew, hope to have an excellent 21st. And down the bottom, Tony, he's written, does this mean we're not doing Stonehenge tonight, Derek Small?
Oh, wow. He's on for it. And did he do the voice? Did he do a bit of his?
He did. And needless to say, my mate was most impressed with the cheap present.
Well done, man. That's priceless.
Harry Shearer sounds like the sort of guy who just spend his whole life just doing the right thing by people, you know. Just,
oh, yeah, fair enough. I totally understand that you want to hear me do that voice, and I'm going to do it for you.
But his own voice is very good. I always remember, did you ever see Harry Shearer on the panel, I think the day that Rupert Murdoch announced he was marrying Wendy Deng? Did you ever see that?
No, I don't think so.
And, you know, Harry is the person who causes all that trouble. You know, when you see the Simpson actors going out on strike, that's all led by Harry. So there's always a war going on between them, and they asked him on the panel, how do you think that wedding's going to go? And Harry goes, I think Wendy Deng will look very nice in black. He will say anything if prompted.
And on that cheery note, hi Peter, how are you?
How are you guys?
Yeah, really good. What have you got?
It took me 12 years to find it, but an original Australian pressing of the Beatles single, Come Get My Dinah Hahn, She Lived It, which is the German, I Want to Hold You and She Loves You.
Where did you find it after the 12-year search?
I found it on eBay auction. Somebody from Holland alerted me to it, and I actually bought it later on, and the fact that sell it to me later on. But what it was, there's only been about 2,000 of them printed. It was the only Beatles single on Parlophone that never charted.
And how much did you pay for it in the end?
$150.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, to hear the Beatles sing their worst song in German, I'd pay more than that.
But you wouldn't be playing it, though, I hope.
No, the thing about it is that what made it great was that it completed my Australian Beatles collection.
Oh, wow.
That's it was
great.
The only one I didn't have.
But what now? I mean, is your life just empty? Is there nowhere to go? Have you got all of Mika's work?
I'm actually going after the albums, the original albums. I've got reissues and stuff, and I'm actually going after original pressings.
Have you got the one where the Beatles have got, cuts of meat hanging all over them? What was that one yesterday?
That one's the Holy Grail. But that usually goes around for anything between 5 to $30,000, depending on what condition it is.
Wow.
I thought the Holy Grail was hunters and collectors.
Yeah, the Beatles did a very early version. Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow, is that the name of that album?
That was the American album, Yesterday and Today. It was actually released in America between the American Brothers album and the American Revolver. And what did the American company Capitol used to chop their albums around? And it was a case where they just taken the photo. Robert Friend was the guy that took the photo, an Australian guy.
Yep.
It was a Nazi thing. And New England, it didn't raise any sort of fuss, but in America, they sort of all gnashing the teeth and, meltdown.
This guy's proper, isn't he? He's a proper fan, and he really wanted it, and he really, really got it, isn't he?
Right, it's exactly what we're talking about.
If you haven't seen that album, it's where the Beatles had just had enough of having their photo taken. Pretty Boys, and they went, let's drape bits of raw meat and dismembered doll parts across our body.
It's
still a bizarre.
If you look in the background, the puppetry of the penis guy.
You can see
doing the Eiffel Tower. Doing a few tricks with Steven Seagal.
Just letting the plums hang wild.
Finally, John, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you going?
Good, man. What do you got?
I got a handheld Galaga video game.
Oh, what's that?
Got that for my birthday after pestering.
And how's it going? You got the top score on that bad boy?
It's long gone, unfortunately. I wish I still had it.
Yes.
But there was a dual player one, so you could play as the alien and come down and smash into the other spaceship.
Wow.
So it was really, really cool.
Sorry, is it really Galaga?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Galaga.
All right. See, I'm just that.
You have Galaga.
I have Galaga.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I was thinking Galaga. Do you want to say anything?
That's where. Thank you very much. And I had Pac-Man as well.
Yeah. Galaga is just where a series of drunken Mancunians sort of stagger towards you. You have to bat them away with a 12-inch single. All right, that's quite a collection of people who prove that you can.
I love it. I love it hearing it. And then they get it, you know, you get it in your hand.
Great. Get what you want. All
All right, Tim, do you want to stick around for more rubbish?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you've met our panel operator, Richard Martin.
I really like Richard Martin.
He's good in a case. Such a big noter. Such a big noter. You heard his song earlier in the show.
Yep.
Feel Like Making Love With Me, Richard Marklin.
Yeah.
Now, he's been trying to get onto US radio with his lies about his resume. We'll prove it next on Get This. All our boy here at Get This on Triple M, Tim Minchin, is sitting in. And what is the name of your show, Tim?
Remember. It has a swear word in it.
Oh, okay.
So Effing Rock.
Oh, So Effing Rock.
Yeah.
It's kind of a greatest hit.
Yeah, so this is my last 2 years of shows because I'm too lazy to write a new one, but they're quite fun. It's songs, you know. So
no.
It's not just songs. There's other stuff.
There's some gear in there. Like
there's some gear. Yeah, some gear comedy. Well, people come and see my shows sometimes, and sometimes they laugh and have a good time. So maybe you out there can do the same. Could have a similar
endorsement. The top night out, but, you know, here's how the people in here like to spend their nights, Tim. BD. Calling radio shows in the United States. Now, this was a couple of weeks ago when, Richard, I think you were obsessed with expressing the anal glands of your girlfriend's dog. Wasn't that
trying to impress a lady?
An ex-girlfriend's dog, I had, in fact, expressed the dog's anal glands. Yeah, we hadn't. I hadn't heard that phrase before.
It's home base.
Expressing.
Home base.
Expressing everything, man.
You can sometimes get what you want.
Even if you're a dog. But this is a bit of a recording we got sent from a radio show in the United States, and I don't know what you're up to, Richard, but it sounds to me like Ed may have sabotaged things. Mm-hmm. Check this out.
Okay, that was good. And it's WBK-445 in the morning, the world of ours. Good morning, the Depot South Side, Bob, we'll be back. We'll be back at the early hours of the morning. This is Sunday. We'll leave the end of this program. And we don't get many calls on this old show, but when we do, it's somewhat special, somewhat in the world of broadcasting. And his name is Richard Marsland. He's from down under Australia side, and he's the host of something called Get This. We'll meet him next.
When Bob will be back,
they call him the talented Mr. Marsland, and we're going to meet him. But I'm telling you, we're having a little problem patching him through. Don't worry, it's all part of the fun of the madhouse. I'm telling you, this Marsland cat, he's faxed me through a little CV. It says he's done some radio bit for the newspapers, something called Dancing with the Stars. He was the creator of the thesis. Some of this has been added by somebody else in pencil. I can see that. I'm going to make him a little full stage joke. But, oh my God, he's piloting a new show. It's called Express Your Anal Glands. I can't tell if that's for real. But there's some good stuff here. He's recorded a dance single called Teabagging Is My Fascination. He's quite some high stepper, this Mr. Marsland. He's got a new dance, which he's introduced. It's called I'm a Girl. I don't know. He's in love with Matthew McConaughey. He's watched Failure to Launch over 700 times. Okay, we're going to have to come back to you on this one. We get some pretty unusual people calling at this time of the night. Gavin Wood is the respected broadcaster from down under. He's up and just calling up to say, you know, Bob, I have no idea what he's talking about, but he's a rootin' tootin' kind of guy, as is Richard Marsland. We'll be meeting him next. Stick around. He's Mr. Mister. I think you know how to do the Kyrie.
Sorry?
I did actually end up eventually getting through and talking to Bob. We'll be back. Yeah, sure I did.
You're getting upset.
It didn't end with Dancing with the Stars.
Bob will be back.
He just sounds so sinister. Like there's this weird laughter in the background, like he's broadcasting from inside a ghost train.
I don't know who that was in the background. Hey, we've got more music, and then, despite the fact we're running late, we are going to wind up.
We're not running that late.
We're going to wind the show up probably in just a few moments. I get this.
I get this.
Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It could well be coming to your town this week. So,